We're going to read a really interesting, strange even, passage. We're doing a series on broken signposts. So far, this is off the top of my head, I think we've definitely done goodness. That was last. Beauty, truth, goodness. Today, we're looking at freedom. Verse 31 of chapter 8. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I have seen in my father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me. A man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is you do not belong to God." Let's pray. Father, we want to commit this time to hearing from you. We thank you for your word. I thank you for what this particular word might have to say to us. We live in a time when freedom is the hope of the world, really. And yet, the more we push towards it, the less it feels like we are free. Help us hear these words from Jesus. Help us hear the invitation to know what it means to be free indeed. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. That's a strange thing to say, isn't it, if you're an Israelite? Because you think about the very beginning of the nation of Israel started with being in slavery in Egypt. But if you go through all of their history, you'll see, the book of Judges, you'll see that they're in captivity by Canaanites, Palestinians, all these kinds of different kinds of bondages. There's the exile with Babylon. Prior to that, there was the Assyrian conquest. And now they're under the rule of Rome. So it seems at first glance that these Jews are making a strange statement. We've Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. But I wonder if you can see the power in what they're saying. Because there's a sense, to me at least, that despite the fact that they're living under oppression right now and their history has been a history of oppression, they refuse to let that define them. No, we're not slaves. Sure, we may have been under oppression, but we are not slaves. We are children of Abraham. I think there's some special brilliance in that myself. It's a bit like the insight of Viktor Frankl. Many of you would know Viktor Frankl, the psychologist who sadly went through the Nazi concentration camps, went in with his family, with his pregnant wife. By the time he came out 3 years later, all of his family had died, including his wife. It's a terrible tragedy. And one of he made many conclusions from having that experience, but here's one of them, that everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstance, to choose one's own way. So you could be dominated by even the Nazi power, and what he observed is you still have the choice in the midst of that to retain some sense of your human dignity. Now, centuries, a millennia or two prior to Viktor Frankl, these Jews, I think, are making a similar kind of observation. We may live under oppression. Our history may be one of oppression. But we get to make a choice here about how we speak of ourselves. And we speak of ourselves as children of Abraham. So that's what they declare to Jesus. We're Abraham's descendants. We're not slaves. We're children of promise. They go on to say to him that because we're children of Abraham, actually God is our father. So I think that's a very powerful and brave insight for anybody who lives under oppression. And in fact, this is not my main teaching point, and I'm actually learning something from what turns out to be Jesus' enemies. But most of us could do well if we live like that. Too many folk in this world define themselves as victims, as oppressed people. And you don't need to do that. There are other choices you can make. You can make a choice to define yourself positively, which is what these gentlemen are trying to do. What drew out that bold declaration, that brave, maybe naive even, but bold declaration, was that Jesus said to them these words. He offers them freedom. If you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they're like, we don't need to be free because we're already free. We're not slaves. Jesus also knows that you can have freedom without actually removing oppression. He's speaking to some Jews. He says to them, you can be free. And he is full aware that they are right now under the rule and reign of Rome. They're not free. They're vassals. They're slaves. He knows that. But he says that the freedom that he promises doesn't require the Jews to defeat Rome and then you'll be free. And actually, he says this is how the freedom that he offers comes. It comes by discipleship, by following him, holding and abiding to his teaching. Notice that this freedom you can't be born into. The freedom that the Jews offered was a freedom that only you could be born into. You can only be a child of Abraham if you're a descendant of Abraham. Now, Jesus says you don't need to be born into this one. You don't need to try to make a belief for it. No, actually, I give it to you. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You can be free when you follow me, is the freedom that Jesus offers these Jews who think they're already free. The kind of freedom that Jesus offers is in two parts. The first one is it's a freedom from the slavery to sin. And the second freedom, and again, Viktor Frankl says, actually, freedom is not a freedom from, it's a freedom to something. So you can't just say, I'm free from this. You've got to define something positive. about what your freedom might mean. So Jesus says, yes, you are free from slavery to sin, but you're free to what? To belong as a son, in his words, as a child of God. And that irritated the Jews, because he was telling them that they needed the freedom he offered, and they thought they were already free. So Jesus assessed their freedom and said, that's empty. That's an empty freedom. And why would he say that? Well, he concludes it's an empty freedom because he says to them, you are slaves to sin. You may say to yourselves, you're Abraham's descendants, we're free from Rome's rule, but actually you've got a bondage over you that you are not free from. And the bondage is called slavery to sin. You're not free from that. And how could Jesus even make that assessment? He makes the assessment because they refuse to listen to him. That's why Jesus says they're slaves to sin. They will not listen to him. In verse 31, it said that they were believers of some fashion. But their belief did not take them to the point of trusting Jesus, of living in a way where they would take his words and apply it to their life. I'm not sure what level of belief they went to, but it was not a belief that was one of faith. They were definitely not willing to listen to Jesus, and that becomes more apparent the more they talk. So Jesus says to them, you may say you're descendants of Abraham, but you're not even acting like Abraham acted. For those of you who know the way Abraham acted, is he heard God's word, he believed it, and then he acted in obedience. And Jesus says to them, here I am telling you God's word, I've heard from the Father, I'm conveying to you exactly what God has given me. You don't hear it, you don't believe it, and you will not obey it. And that tells me, Jesus concludes, you are slaves to sin. And that not only are they not listening to Jesus, but they're worse than that, aren't they? We're going to find out they're looking for a way to kill him. Again, I don't know what verse 31 means by they believed in him, but I know this. I don't want anyone to believe in me that way. Threatening to take my life. I don't want those kind of followers. So Jesus goes on to say that your father is not Abraham. Your father is the devil. How to win friends and influence people. And the reason why it's the devil is because what you're trying to do, your failure to listen to me, to be obedient, and also to turn my words into lies, and then finally to want to murder, all those activities are right in line with what the devil wants in this world. And so he concludes, whoever belongs to God, hears what God says. The reason why you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. So there, damnation is pretty clear. They're not on Jesus' side. They're not actually children of Abraham. They're children of the devil. And here's the strange thing to me, is they are so caught in their slavery, they can't even see it. Don't even see it. You follow through the text all the way through the end of the chapter, and at not one point do they get the, aha, I see what you're saying now. They are so caught in slavery, they can't see it. They love what they believe and the way that they live. They will not change it. So they can't know the truth that Jesus offers, and they will never know the freedom that he brings. Just can't happen for them. You know, I think that's our bondage. Don't you? There are so many human freedoms that we desire.
Anyone who's got a mortgage, financial freedom, political freedom, emancipation for women and many, many more people, as it's turning out. On and on it can go. We want so many freedoms. But could it be that there is a freedom that God offers that you can't see and you might not even want? Because that's what's happened with these guys. These Jews have Jesus offer them a freedom that they can't see and they don't want. This is a really weird and disturbing story about a duke called Reinald III. Anyone heard about Reinald III? He's an opulent man. Was. He lived in the 14th century, and he was a duke in what we would now call Belgium. Anyway, his brother, younger brother Edward, had a coup against his older brother and won. And what he did, he didn't want to kill his older brother, which is very kind of him, but what he did is he put him in a room with normal-sized windows and normal-sized doors. I'm guessing they built the room around him. And what he said to Reynold is, you can leave whenever you like. What he also did is he supplied Reynold the most opulent of foods every day. The dear Reynold couldn't fit through the door. He couldn't leave. The door was not locked, but because he was so fat, he couldn't fit through the door. He had a nickname in Latin, which is Crassus, which means fat. Isn't that such a tragic, strange story that actually happened? Humanity is weird. When Edward died in battle, the reign of the, not kingdom, whatever dukes reign over, the area went to Reynold. Reynold still couldn't get out the door. So he only lived for a few more months and died of his obesity. This man was unbelievably captive to his appetite. And it's an extreme account, but it points to how we can be enslaved to our sin. That there are things in our life we love. We love to love. You know, the world we live in says to be free is to do whatever you want. Well, Reynold did whatever he wanted until what he was doing was not what he wanted, but it was so ingrained in him, such a habit, he couldn't stop it. You know, I do think the best idea when it comes to thinking about sin is that we're addicts. There's something that we're addicted to. We just love it. You know, there's things that are wrong and we'd say that's sin, but there are things that we love and are wrong and we love it. And Jesus says to people who say freedom is doing whatever you want, that actually that's slavery. That's a slavery to sin. And it comes from the father of lies. The Jews could not give up their way of thinking. Just couldn't, wouldn't. And when we do whatever we want, we're the same. We are, without restraint, given over to our own desires and passions. Well, here's the good news. Jesus can free you wherever you are. You know, when Jesus is talking to these Jews, I don't believe he's talking to them to damn them, to condemn them. I believe he's talking to them to invite them to let it go, to give up on this empty way of thinking. That's what I think he's doing. Jesus can free you wherever you are. He saw a guy in a boat called Peter, who said to him at one point, if you remember, "I am a sinful man, go away from me." And Jesus was able to take that man who knew he was a sinner and help him be a follower. Said to another guy on the side of a road that no one was paying attention to, who called out for mercy. We now know him as Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. He was able to take him and bring him freedom. He saw Zacchaeus up a tree, a clear sinner to anybody who knew him, somebody that nobody wanted to pay any attention to or give time to. But he saw Zacchaeus up a tree, and because of his interaction with him, salvation came to Zacchaeus' household that day. In this very same chapter, chapter 8, he engaged a woman who was caught in adultery. And through his interaction with her, she found freedom. Then the thief on a cross, you don't get more last minute than this, do you? The thief on a cross who's lived a whole life of doing whatever he wants. At the last possible moment, with that last possible gasp, his sentence is enough. "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom," is enough for Jesus to bring him freedom. And Jesus can bring you and I freedom too when we follow him. He can bring us freedom from slavery to sin. Now don't hear me wrong in this. You may have noticed, for those of you who are followers of Jesus, you're still sinning. Have you noticed that? It's the freedom from slavery to sin. Let me explain that a little bit more. It's the slavery of not seeing what is holding you back. The slavery of misplaced security and not knowing you are in trouble in this life and the next. The slavery of not recognizing your sin, not repenting from that sin, and not asking for forgiveness. The slavery of not trusting in the work of Jesus on the cross to deal with your sins, bring you back to God and into a life of godly freedom. That's what Jesus rescues us from. The person who comes to Jesus knows very well they still sin. But you know what we do? Is we go quickly to God. We don't hide it. We know we're in safe hands, and we don't let it become a slavery to us. And knowing Jesus can release you from slavery to sin and bring you into the freedom of belonging as God's child, the freedom of holding on to his truth, the freedom of living for him, the freedom of living obediently and wanting and desiring the good that God wants and desires in your life and in other people's lives. The Apostle Paul writes this: "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God." For those of us who follow Jesus, you are no longer normal, in a good way. What did it just say about you? That you have a freedom and glory as the children of God. I wonder if we think about that very much. What is the freedom and glory that I have as I follow Jesus? I wonder if we're able to encourage that in one another. Listen to this. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are free. You are free indeed. How many of you feel free? Free. I've been around enough Christians to know not all Christians feel free. Why? What is holding you back from the freedom and glory of being a child of God. I had three thoughts about what could be holding you back. Could it be blindness? That you're blind to your slavery? That even as a follower of Jesus, there are things in your life that you're enslaved by, and you refuse to let God show the mirror and say to you, you need to get rid of that one. You don't want to get rid of it because you love it. And that's why it's a slavery to you. The thing I noticed about Jesus, he constantly does this. He finds the one thing that you just don't want to give up on. He says, yeah, we'll take that one. Get rid of it. The rich young ruler. What's he go for? His riches. One thing. So you could be blind, and it could be meaning that you cannot be free because you are enslaved. Second thing I thought about was you could be ignorant. You frankly don't know what freedom you have. Actually, this is a lot of people. A lot of people do not know what it means to have the keys to the God's house. Isn't that the analogy that Jesus gives? If you're a slave, you have no security, you don't belong, this is not your house. But if you're a son, you do belong, this is your house, you're fully secure. And what I would say is there are so many Christians that have a book of promises that you have not a clue about. You have extraordinary wealth available to you as a child of God. Yet you are ignorant because you just don't know it. Third one is doubt. That you doubt that you can live out the truth that sets you free. You doubt whether what Jesus said really will make a difference. You know, when the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, he doesn't say, there might be no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He doesn't say that. He says, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When the Apostle John writes in 1 John 1, he doesn't write, maybe God will forgive you if you confess your sins. No. 1 John 1:9, he says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive you of your sins. So far, you know that you are not condemned. And you know that when you confess, you are forgiven. So why do people live as if they're guilty all the time and never forgiven? And they're Christians. Strange. Why? Because the lines and the scripts and the little words in our head tell us we are not worthy enough, not good enough. They are lies. And the doubt means you believe the lie and do not exchange it for the truth, which means you do not live free. You are free if you're a follower of Jesus. Jesus didn't say to you, I got an idea. Let's try something out and see if it works. He didn't say that. He says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. I want you to think about these three things. Ross, if you can just put them up. If you're not feeling free today as a follower of Jesus, or maybe even not as a follower of Jesus, if you're not feeling free and you're not a follower of Jesus, I'd suggest it's because you are actually in slavery to sin in the words of Jesus, so don't just say I'm being obnoxious. And you need to give your life to Jesus. But then followers of Jesus, I want you to have a look at those three words. If you're not feeling free, is it because you're blind? Is it because you're ignorant? Is it because you doubt? Today, as I've been talking, I wonder if any of you have been annoyed at me. I can't believe you're saying these things. Because what I did notice as I looked at this text is annoyance is a good indication that maybe we need to listen to something. Irritation, annoyance, anger. Maybe God's trying to say something to you. But I wonder. I'm going to pray now. I'm going to invite you before God. Ask God to unveil if any of these things might be true in your life, that there might be, it might be holding you back from the liberty that Jesus gives. Our Lord Jesus, we want to firstly acknowledge that we are so enslaved, so deceived. As Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things. We are so deceived that we definitely need your help to see ourselves as we are. There are massive blind spots in all of our lives. That Spirit of God, we need you to work in. Give us insight. So what we want to do is humbly offer our lives to you and say, Lord, I want to be free. I want to be free. I'm tired of the slavery. I'm tired of living less than you want for me. Hear that prayer, our God. Help us where we are, to come to where you want us to be. I want to pray over our church and our people. And I want to pray, our God, that you would enable us to live in the glory and the freedom of being children of God. That we would know your presence and power in every day. That we would have a sense of confidence in our identity in Jesus that is stronger than any mental, internal, external challenge that comes our way. That we'd have a security that means that we are relating with people in ways that bring them life instead of sucking life out of them. And God, I pray that from our glory and our freedom, we might be your good in the world. This I pray through Jesus Christ our Lord.